Good morning. Welcome to episode 7 of the Arisen podcast. I am one of the hosts. I am Modania, coming to you live via the power of the wave vessel all the way from Australia. The other fine host of this podcast is the three-time back-to-back-to-back Horner content creator of the year, the most attractive man of all of Scotland, the cat breeder. I don't even know what breed of cat that is, if I'm honest, Shabash, but I'm gonna keep the title short today. You know, I haven't got this big long-winded one, but welcome, Mr. Shabash. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, Danny. It was evening, it's now morning here, but I'm really good, mate. Good to see you. It's been a while since episode 6. Episode 7, here we go. Going to keep it short and sweet, to the previous one at least, but hype on this one, Danny. What do you reckon? How you going?
Mate, just a little bit of hype. Odie doesn't want to give us a break with these these podcasts, likes to drop a little bomb just before we go live, but this is a big bomb that's come just before this podcast. So yeah, I'm going good. I'm hyped up. It's 7 a.m. for me, but you know how it is. Got some energy ready to go if I need it.
Title sponsor on the podcast, Blue V.
That's right. I need to get in touch with those guys and see if I can get a little fridge in the background, you know, that sort of thing. But yeah, hyped, man. I'm really excited. It has been a minute since we did the last podcast with episode 6 with Fuximus. It was a good bit of fun. This isn't major number one priority in our lives, obviously, but we do want to give some content for every month at a minimum. I'm thinking that there might be one pretty soon after this one, Shabash, with that latest announcement, if there's stuff coming pretty soon. Yeah. Excited, man.
Yeah, really excited, yeah. I'm not sure if he's employed anyone yet to get some new stuff banged out for next month, dang you. But next month, you know, if all else fails, next month should be pretty awesome anyway. If people miss the mimics, I don't know if Odie's got something else up his sleeve, but one second, I'm joined by my wee co-host here. trying to sit on my lap. Got my wee cat. He's normally in bed, cooped up in bed at this time. He's up late, so he's looking for some cuddles. But man, this news post, if you've not seen it yet, it will be in the link in the YouTube video description. Basically, Odie gave us an update of what Orna, or the direction Orna's going. And if you didn't know until now, Orna's basically been a part-time job for Odie, like a wee side hustle compared to his main gig. Not anymore. He's going full-time on this bad boy. Unreal.
This is
so
huge.
Happy for him. Like,
so happy.
Read this yesterday, and dang it, it's funny. We were talking about something beforehand, and we woke up, and we were kind of wondering if Odie wasn't listening to us in a certain certain Discord channel. But awesome news. He's 200% growth in players compared to this time last year. That's bonkers, eh?
Absolutely mental. During a time in which you would expect people are getting out and about less and less, it might be somewhat surprising that there's people picking up a GPS-based game, but obviously there's enough content there to keep people occupied and playing during some tough times that he's been able to retain a solid player base and keep growing. Unreal.
I think he's done super well to kind of, must have had to pivot a wee bit into the kind of content he was planning on delivering. But I think with the wave vessel thing and people being able to, you know, kind of play with their mates and play a bit more from home, that's really helped things. To be fair, I mean, the wave vessel stuff didn't come in. It's not as if the wave vessel thing came in at the start of COVID, but really happy days. The language thing as well, 15 languages, including Australian English. Am I right? Who's the translator for that?
You know, I joked for years about trying to get in as an Australian translator for him, with maybe a little bit of selfishness there, wanting to get access to some sprites there, just a bit of a joke as well, because obviously Australian is English. But no, it's got the Queen's English there for Australian as well, which is pretty awesome because we do use the same spelling as English. Sorry, Americans. Proper English. I've just lost your head there for a second there as well.
I'll be back.
You'll be back. Yeah.
There's the translator community. You know, I've got to give them a lot of credit as well. Shows you the love for the game, being able to, because it's not as if there's a few pages and you need to translate. There's a lot of content in the game, even now. So massive props to everybody who's helped with the translation side of things. They got some pretty wicked new sprites as well. Fairly recently, yeah. They got like the shrines.
Shrines, yeah. Yep.
I think with the Wavestar thing, I think there must have been a few people in the party. You see that and you're like, oh, click this, and it brings up somebody's profile.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. This stuff, man, this is really cool. There's that line in there that you called out that, with that said, I've decided to make Orna my full-time gig and eventually bring on some teammates.
Oh, yeah.
As the roles are needed. And, I mean, the fact that this game's been developed and maintained by one person for this amount of time and to give us the volume of content that we've had, have it running relatively smoothly the entire time, and grow such a positive, strong, happy community is just absolutely astounding and spectacular in itself. But this is exciting. This is really, really exciting. We've been rooting for this to be Odie's main focus, which might be a little bit selfish on our end as well, because we want to see this thing grow.
Exactly.
But just absolutely fantastic to hear that a guy's been able to put some time into a passion project and turn it into his livelihood. It's always fantastic to hear that. And yeah, having some teammates on board, wowee.
I mean,
what does that mean for the scope of this game?
Where could it go? Need some time to, you know what, I'd be super pumped if he's got like a even more of a roadmap for what he's going to be able to manage and bring in with these other guys on board. Employees or teammates, is that a Canadian term?
He's very polite, isn't he? Yeah. Very tactful. I don't know if that necessarily means we're going to see an expanded team instantly, but it looks like that's what the plan is. And what that brings with it will hopefully mean additional content or more optimization or speedier turnaround on bug fixes, all of the normal things that you would expect from a growing development team. It doesn't overnight turn it into a massive developer, obviously, but it's exciting stuff nonetheless. Like you said, I thought that we were having our wires tapped for a second there, Shabash, because we were having a good old chat about, like, I wonder if this would happen one day. I go to sleep and then I wake up a few hours later and find out that Odie's made a post about this very thing.
Yeah, fucking crazy.
I had to say, like, I'm like, hang on, was he on the call? I don't know what was going on there. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And I'm super, again, super, super happy. Really excited to see where it goes. I think a lot of us who are more towards, you know, currently towards the end of the game, I still know a lot of people who have a lot of goals at the moment. Me included, I've got stuff to do, so.
Yep.
For me, super positive news. I wonder what the studio name's going to be.
I'm interested to hear what the name's going to be as well, yeah.
So hopefully you have a wee Orna name in there, but yeah, nah, nothing to do with me, of course.
It's just exciting stuff. Interesting. I mean, there's notes underneath just the positivity that he shared in the at the top there. I'd actually be interested to see if it'd be possible to nab some stats from him on a few different things, like the volume of T11 players that exist currently, or maybe the volume of players in each tier, like what that breaks down to get a bit of a sense of where the player spread is overall, if there's maybe even an amount of hours that each player dedicated per tier, you know, like some real interesting stats would be pretty cool if he's got them. It'd just be neat. But underneath that, where he's talking about the expansion, he's already talking about new content that he has planned to come out. He's done a couple of hype posts recently.
Yeah.
And it looks like the hype posts that we saw, which were around combat that included more than one-on-one, a couple of posts had pictures of, you know, multiple enemies per side, not just on the enemy side, but potentially on your own. It looks like this isn't just a not party, not just PvE, but PvP, not just party play, but in this text, it's talking about a whole battle engine to improve the real-time combat, make it smoother, more fluent turn-based, faster, smoother, more fluent turn-based combat. So speed the whole thing up.
I mean, I didn't think it's been that bad for a turn-based game. I don't have much experience of previous, of like older game turn-based games, but it didn't seem too bad. If you can smooth things out, make it quicker.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you think about, I don't know, if you saved like 1 second per turn, like per action. I don't know about you, Dangy, but I killed quite a few mobs, so I wouldn't mind saving some hours, some days of my life.
You're at like something like 350,000 monster kills. 1 second per kill is a decent chunk of time.
A few days, let's not talk about my playtime on this game, but... super exciting. 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, and 4v4 live PvP configuration.
PvP.
Live PvP, 4v4.
Multiplayer PvP. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't quite know how to digest that, because I don't quite understand how that works well. I don't get how that plays out, whether it's just whoever happens to roll the first turn one-shots one person, and then there's only three players left on the other side, so then they get a turn at one-shotting, so it's basically whoever goes first has a higher chance. I don't really know how it works, because we're used to it's not live. You're versing AI.
Yeah.
You have that inherent advantage because the AI can't be controlled. In terms of, you could set it up with the perfect skill sets and inclination, and it will still sometimes choose to defend or attack or, you know, do the annoying stuff. How's this go, man? I don't know how to deal with smart people on the other end of my PvP. So,
I tell you what.
Yeah.
I tell you, there's one thing I hope that comes with this is being able to set up fights with other parties, like not just having random fights, you know, like like, for example, currently in the kingdom roster you can challenge other members of your kingdom, but you cannot challenge anybody in your allies, for example, and then it's just in the arena or coliseum, and like it's random fights whoever you run into. But I'd love some kind, because, you know, seasons are coming. Seasons have been on the roadmap for, I think, over a year now. Been over a year since he sent those hype screenshots of the armor trophies. But I would like to, a way of being able to challenge other parties, you know, out with the randomness of the arena or outside of kingdoms or whatever. So I hope that comes with it as well. There's nothing there that says that's definitely coming, but I'm going to hope that's coming.
Yeah. I mean, like I've said, I'm not even sure quite how to digest this one and work out how it even works, because obviously Arena, as it exists right now, you go in and you just choose to queue against a bunch of AI, yeah. You know, and verse one of them. And then you can redo that if you like. And that's our PvP. That's what exists. You got your Kingdom Wars and you got Arena, and Colosseum obviously is just 20 of the arena fights with scaled stats. I don't know if I can even guess. Is there gonna be a 1v1 arena and a 2v2 arena and a 3v3 arena? And how do you queue in that arena? Do you have to have a party set up with three people before you go into the 3v3 arena? Or can you solo queue in the 3v3 arena?
Just go in with some fucking randoms.
Yeah. I don't know how it works. It's going to be intriguing. And if it is party-based, is that tier-matched as well? Like, can you only party to do arena with people within your tier? Or could you go a tier 9, a tier 8, and a tier 10? You might get destroyed, but I don't understand what to expect here. Got us guessing.
I'd give the commenters who make suggestions that war matchmaking should be fixed because they always fight people 50 levels ahead of them, give them some more things to
write about.
Good idea, Danny. Nah. I don't know. I'm just more PvP stuff, yeah. Really, really keen to see that. I mean, everybody's until now is like set up for war defense or for territory defense in a really specific way to try and make the most out of a really not unmanageable AI, but difficult AI, let's say. Works a lot of the time, works not a lot of the time. It's just going to be a straight shootout, live PvP. That's hopefully.
It's one of the comments in the chat was around area damage skills, and I wonder, we got a team coming on board potentially, or individuals coming on to help. Is there going to be a whole scope to go through here of potential control, like you said, AOE?
Like tanking, healing.
Yeah, like the proper normal RPG mechanics.
Yeah. I'm used to just everybody being DPS.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that will still be possible. I hope so. It's gotta happen, like four realm swash against, I don't know, party dungeon runs, world raid bosses, other 4v4 PvP. Like, you would think like realm swash would be like straight. If you think about dexterity, if dexterity has anything to do with who goes first, like just like four one shots in a row. So I don't know.
Well, that thing, he'll be running some sort of testing, surely, to work out how to balance that in a way that makes a bit of sense. I'd hope. That's a guess, but he usually lands with pretty intelligent stuff. I'm mega curious by that PvP stuff. The PvE is what I expected when he showed those screenshots. I kind of was thinking that we'd get to play with a friend.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking that we get to play with three friends, because it's got 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, 4v4. Though the party stuff,
you think it'll be versus 4 people on the party, not 6?
It could be 6, I guess, for PvE, right? Like, you got 6 people in a party currently, but I don't
know. There better be some
on a screen.
Hefty dungeons, hefty rewards.
Yeah, and how does that get balanced out with if you've got extra people? Why is it not just suddenly easy mode, right? Like, it's already easy to run through a dungeon. How is that compensated for? Are the stats scaled? So is an enemy just
more difficult
if there's two people, twice as tough?
Hmm.
Or is there something else there to balance that out? But yeah, the party-based PvE stuff I kind of expected. Sort of thought it might be dungeons. I know that there was it was on the roadmap about party world raids for a little bit, and it's got the live turn-based world raid boss battles.
Yeah, I don't
know how that's different.
Yeah, to what it is now.
See here, mate.
To what it is currently, yeah. Because just raids now, you can kind of see the guy next to you going live. So I don't know if this will be. It says live turn-based world raid boss battles. It doesn't say party world raid boss battles. So, you know, if there was party there, maybe you have those mechanics that we just talked about, people buffing up other players or taking aggro, this kind of thing. So,
yeah. Because it's got a call out to turn-based, it sort of made me think initially the way it is currently is your race. You're racing your friends to do the damage as quick as possible. Yeah. If somebody's got a better connection, a better phone, or doesn't have a kid screaming or doesn't have, you know, their partner asking for help, they can get their damage done quicker. Yeah. But maybe it is that when you enter, you have to wait for them to take their turn before you take your turn, if it's turn-based. Maybe it's very similar, but it's like that.
Could get annoying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chuck out the guy with the bad connection. I used to have...
Yeah.
I used to play on, like, really, really bad ping when back on the island, so...
Yeah.
Bad memories of that kind of thing, but, yeah, we'll see how it goes. In any case, if it's... This whole thing seems to be promoting, you know, party play, and...
Well, yeah.
This is...
There's...
You know, Daniel, I'll lay the floor for you here, but because we had a couple of conversations fairly recently of saying how for most people, and not necessarily the people who play top 100 leaderboard, etc., but for most people, Orna is mainly, you know, a commuting game, play on the bus, play on the train, play on the shitter when you're taking a crap at work, this kind of thing, you know. Play for like, I don't know, like 5-10 minutes, do a wee dungeon on the road if you've got time. And then, you know, you get hooked. When you start off playing like that. I think a lot of people start off playing like that.
Yeah.
And then, if you're playing in a party though, if you're setting up a party play, like, I don't know, I don't think there's any way, if it's still turn-based, like, and not super live. I don't see any way how having a second person in your party still taking turns is going to be quicker than just soloing dungeons and stuff. There's going to be more time there. So, I don't know, like, potentially, your idea that you were saying was these new party mechanics could incentivize groups of people to actually sit down and have a proper gaming session, and actually have their gaming session be Orna rather than have Orna sitting on the table on the side and, you know, you do a raid in between matchmaking on another game or something like that.
Yeah. It's a brilliant summary of essentially the concept there. Basically, like you said, at the moment, if I'm jumping onto game for the night, the people that I'm coordinating with are not my Orna friends. They're people that I'm playing a different game with.
Yeah.
And I jump on with Orna to quickly do my Kingdom Gauntlet or to quickly do a war matchup or maybe to do some arena in between queue times somewhere else. And then, you know, Orna is kind of like my secondary game a lot in that sense. It's not really because I spend that much time with the community and all that other stuff. But it's a really interesting and exciting idea to me if Orna can become my gaming session for the night. So if I can line up with you across the world and have some sort of voice chat where we're sitting there and we're playing as a party together, and now we've got these way vessels that got added in not too long ago. It's like, cool, I've actually got a way vessel in my party that has 6 gauntlets. It's like, awesome, great. I have one with 5. Do you want to knock out 11 dungeons together? We can jump in, we can run through it all, and we can have a chat. And if that expands out further and further, and if there's a way to make that a longer form factor, it would incentivize me to want to play with my friends and talk to them while I'm playing. So if that meant that it would take us to do that somewhere above 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours to get through that content together, it's interesting because to me, a game is engaging only to a point with the content that exists with inside the game itself.
Yeah.
The thing that really can make a game tip over to that next level of what really excites people and makes them think about it to, you know, I can't wait to jump on and play it tomorrow or whatever, is those interactions that are human-based inside of what you're doing within the game. So when you're jumping on with your friends and chatting and laughing because, you know, Dangy stuffed up and caused us all to wipe on this dungeon because he didn't use
spike shield,
you know, a skill. Yeah, something like that. That sounds fun. Like, that sounds exciting. Yeah. That sounds, to me, like a really, really big change to how we view Honor as a product. That's got me, it's got me pretty amped, really, especially with that added in element that he's now said, on top of that, I'm going to actually look at whether I expand this to get extra help. That, oh man, whew.
I mean, that could go, MM Orna, we've got a comment there.
MM Orna.
Here's a good question from Knight, though. Knight 411, great guy. What will be the pull-ups on the side game if you're playing Orna as your main game? What would you choose, Danny?
Currently? Oh, mate, I've got no idea. That's my side game. But who knows? Who knows if you're in a party and you die in a dungeon, do you get kicked out and the party keeps pushing forward? Who knows?
Surely
like,
can
you get revived or what?
But if there is a healing, I mean, you'd expect, as I said before, you'd expect some kind of healer to be available.
Yeah.
If it's just PvP based, I mean, this game, it's not, you can be classes, the same class in PvE and PvP. So yeah, in that case, but if you're allowed to die and someone bring you back to life, that's a pretty strong mechanic. I would guess that if you rip the dungeon, if someone dies, that's it, like game over.
So the answer to the question becomes then, I'm not sure there's much downtime. There's not a side game while I'm playing this. If I'm jumping on, I would expect that the people that I'm playing with would have the expectation that we're smashing out dungeon after dungeon. Shut up, Dangy. Stop talking, mate. We're trying to play here. I don't know, Knight. I don't know what the side game would be, but I'm excited that this might evolve to, from being a potential side game at night time while you're playing something else to the main game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine would be Sudoku, probably. Thanks for asking. So what else we've got? Complete menu overhaul and visual refresh.
Thanks for asking.
So have you got the screenshots there in the hype channel of the menu overhaul?
I'll go grab them very quickly. I didn't actually pinch them out.
So playing this game every day for the last over 2 years now, there's been a couple of UI changes, but it's kept the general same theme of like the circular menu. My muscle memory on my thumbs are just ridiculous. Like, go here, go there. So I don't know. I'm sure the screenshot is like shows you like a square image of the stat screen. So if you're going more square rather than circular on the UI front. I don't know. Obviously, after doing the same thing for like months and months, it's going to take a little bit of getting used to for most current players. But, you know, maybe for new players, it seems better for them. I don't know.
Yeah, so UI-wise, there was the Chronomancer post that happened a while ago, and it showed a menu variation to what we're used to, where the menu's actually running, it looks like, on top. Whether that's in addition to what we're used to, or whether that's replacing what we're used to, so whether those sit along the top and you've got your normal circular menu that exists when you enter your character or whatever, I'm not quite sure. But that it looks neat and clean.
He's got some amount of orange, that guy. Orna. Odie, sorry.
Hacker, man. He's a hacker. Might need to report him.
Odie reached level 250 recently in the game. So big props there. He killed a goblin or something like that and leveled up. Good man. Now, I'm saying Square because the hype post before that shows the updated stat screen, and it's just got a really nice square border on it.
The box. Yep.
Yeah. Guess what else it's got in it, Dangy? Critical hit chance rate. 5% he's got. It's not enough. Now we don't need to spend...
Pretty embarrassing. Yeah.
A few seconds counting how much crit we've got on our gear. Just see it straight away.
Personally, that's a thing that I'm really happy to see is coming eventually, having the crit chance. Crit chance is a big part of the builds that I make now, and I think it is for a lot of people. That's pretty cool. Yeah, the design stuff looks different, but different isn't bad. We get used to certain things, and this might modernize it a little bit. Who knows if it'll even stick that way, if he's new people as well. Might bring on an artistic director. Blueberry, have you got an email from Odie yet? Surely Blueberry's got an email from Odie sitting there. Just check your junk folder, mate.
Reference.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a UI overhaul is it's pretty awesome to have this whole thing packaged up in a new look as well. I like that he's called it Orna version 3.0. So got all of these different changes for party mechanics, but then gonna have it look different too.
It's a big deal, huh? I'm just checking what the current version of the game is. Because I was sure we were still on 1.1 something.
Hmm.
Oh, no, 2.12.11. Yeah, I can't remember when 2.0 came out, but never mind. Yeah, 3.0 is super hype. Looking at... Well, the next point there is the reworked battle AI. Touched upon that. Just looking at these other hype pictures, Dangy, which I've got off my screen, there was... 1 second, please. So in that picture where he's got the two of them fighting that level 192 blue slime. So clearly, like, lower tier mobs are clearly getting some kind of scaling, as you kind of mentioned, actually. But at the top, it shows what seems to be like, where the battle log used to be. That shows like that, what's that turn, what do you call it? Whose turn it is to go?
Turn order, I guess. It doesn't have any text for the battle, so we're used to you read the text quite a lot in the log. Some people become reliant on it to work out, you know, what dot they were hit with or debuff.
He did post a GIF when he was fighting two blue slimes and a draconian mage, and it's got battle text there, and it seems it's going pretty rapid.
Yeah, okay. So it's in a different form factor to what we're used to. Yeah, okay, cool.
I look smooth though in that GIF, whatever you can tell from a GIF, but
yeah.
Okay. What about this one then? PvP opponents now have mana. The AI will become smarter to compensate.
So what does the AI will become smarter mean? I'll stop using high manner skill when I don't need to. I don't really know how that works, but having mana kind of drastically changes PvP. That's a multi-tier impact, because in the lower tiers, when you're just starting the game and you're in tier two, you might go into arena, which is scary as hell when you're in tier two, and your opponent is some Chad who Jonk has recruited to the tier two kingdom that just has the ability to constantly use skills because their mana is endless. So they'll just keep whittling you down.
Yep.
But if they can only use one skill one time, like most people who are a level two thief, tier two thief or whatever, then the battle might finally be something that's a little bit more winnable. I wonder if the... It just says PvP opponents have mana. It doesn't say live PvP opponents have mana. So it just be in general?
Surely the live PvP will have mana. The other, if there's a guy on the other side of the screen. But I'm assuming this is just like AI defense. But you're 100% right. You had a great point. Tier 2, you can use one double cut. Maybe two if you're lucky. If you've equipped a blue gem for some reason. Yeah. And the other guy's just smashing you, so.
Yeah. It's a big balance change. And at the top level, it makes a big difference as well, because the way that you have it set currently is you have these deities running around with heretics robes, sequencer, and a heap of fae gear elsewhere, or fae gear in head and feet, and that really cuts down their mana, and it means that their ultima now costs 720 to cast. But they can get away with it because they've got endless mana.
Yeah.
They can just keep casting that ultima and just they will win that fight. But if they only get to cast two of them, that changes things a little bit. If you manage to survive one somehow, or two somehow, good luck doing it. But if you do manage to survive two somehow, then suddenly they're kind of stuck. They might have to start equipping magic strikes or something in there just in case.
Beowulf sequencer with the crit and recharge. Just endless ultima. There you go. Easy.
Found a way for Fux to play the game effectively as a Beowulf.
People will still see him as Beowulf, so.
Yeah, there you go. No one will get that screenshot. Of him off Beowulf. It's a massive balance change. That changes things up quite significantly. I kind of feel like where this one's going to land is that the initial reaction from the crowd might be relatively negative, because once you get used to a certain style of play, anything that's counter to that, and this is quite a large change, is maybe going to be received negatively. But I'd like to see how it plays out. And Odie's never been above seeing how something lands and then tweaking it post-launch. Like if something comes out and it completely doesn't work, he's not going to just leave it like that. He will look to work out a way to make it a bit more balanced and a bit more probably fun, engaging, and usable for everyone. So I'm unsure where this lands immediately, but having mana only makes sense given you have mana.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
See how it goes, though.
Yeah.
We did have a fairly decent topic list, but there's a couple of, just the last points there, theme dungeons, including new and unique monsters. Gotta love new mobs. Didn't you love it when Nidhogg came in?
Oh, mate. Nidhogg just started decimating people straight away. We've worked Nidhogg out finally, though. Wow, yeah.
New What's that, and, using Earth skill? Switch
to Earth Legion. You didn't struggle, did you?
Switch to Earth Legion.
But not just new Shabash, the unique. I wonder why unique is called out. Is unique called out because it's something different that we haven't seen mechanic-wise before? Although mechanics aren't called out, so potentially not. The themed dungeons part is the part that people have been psyched about for a really, really long time. And I'm so curious to see what that means. Does it mean that there's additional dungeon spawns in the world that are in certain locations? Ooh, does it mean that there's replacements for current dungeons that exist? Or does it mean that when you go to any dungeon, you can choose to make it be a certain theme by utilizing a certain type of key?
Interesting ideas. I would prefer the first one, that new dungeon spawn. But second option, probably viable as well. Because there's areas with a decent, quite a high population density of dungeons around, so...
Yeah.
Unique monsters, so like, surely that's... You have a certain themed dungeon, like a water dungeon or something, and then you have like a special water boss inside that doesn't just drop Jewels of the Deep.
Yeah.
Hopefully bring some like new gear and stuff in as well. And throughout all tiers as well, eh? Cause, I would say kind of early mid game tiering, apart from like event gear is, you know, if you talk about the base game, has been fairly stale for a while. There's been a couple of really nice additions, eh? Like arrows and that came with offhand skills, I guess. The gear actually didn't change, but what kind of themes are you thinking, Danny? Like, my personal one is, I think the most obvious one for me is like biomes, like as I said, water dungeon, wood dungeon. There's already weather in the game, there's already these kind of biomes, like that's a bit limited, but that's all I really.
No, that's naturally where my brain went, is like, you've got the how many weather types are there?
There's 3/4. Like, this, the sun and moon are technically the same thing. Just depends if it's night or day cycle. So you got,
and then you've got rain.
Rain and snow. The other two.
And snow. Right. And then there's the other one that we can access through the use of a scroll, which is all weather types at once.
Ah, the chaos scroll,
Yeah. That's naturally where my brain went, is to like different weather types, like if there was a way to get Yetis more Chaos reliably
dungeon.
Or
Chaos Scroll Dungeon.
Yeah, something that let you get to snow easier, water easier, wood easier. The woods earlier in the game are like a pretty big deal, like if you can get the bosses that spawn in the woods, like mimics. It's a pretty big deal for keys and alike early in the game. I just wonder how it works. So, because currently when we go into a dungeon, we have to choose the tier that we want. Then we have to choose whether we want to do it as a normal boss or endless.
Mm-hmm. So do you think themes will be a checkbox?
Slime, I don't know.
Slime dungeon would be legit. Arisen blue
Maybe
slime.
We'll finally get the slime mage, the slime witch that drops. Oh man, hang on, like some sort of plant based theme would be cool. Get those plants. I don't quite know what to expect with it, but that's naturally where my brain has sort of gone. Catering to those monsters that have more limited spawn. What do you call it?
Rare
like the yeah, the, it's either that or families. So I think like the
codex thing?
Monsters. Sorry,
is that a codex thing?
Yeah, like I think like the monsters sort of fall within, like, and events do the same. So, you know, like when we have the Nothran Legends event, it's all about the Nothran group. Okay. Yeah. So maybe there's
Baelors.
There's
Baelor forces.
Yeah, Baelors. Yep. Yeah. That sort Baelor of thing. Games. That's the only real groupings that I can think to put the monsters that exist in Ornn in are either the families or the weather that they spawn in. So that's sort and of biomes. Naturally where my brain's going.
Yeah. Biomes is my thing. Blue slime, I was just checking the codex there. Blue slime is a magical mob.
Yeah.
And resistant to physical as well.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So theme dungeons though, this is something that's been how long has that been on the...
It's been a while now.
On the roadmap.
Been a while.
So it feels like it's been a while. I know that we've talked about it multiple times before. So if this is coming soon, I don't know if this makes it into the public beta, which is in this announcement post. Is all of this content coming to the public beta at one time? Because if it is, that's a lot to drop in.
Dangy, that's in, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days? What, 4 days for
1st
you?
1st of September, yeah.
Oh, 5 days for me.
Yeah. Like, is all this coming to the beta? Is that what we're reading?
Well,
is that what we're gleaning from this?
That's what I'm guessing, man. 3.0, Ornn 3.0, and then version 3.0 public beta. 3,000 players available to... By the way, if you're in beta right now, you'll have to re-enroll September 1st, 2021 at 12 p.m. Eastern time. I know a lot of people who got mad when they left the previous beta and then it kind of filled up and they lost out on some... They didn't lose out, they lost a couple of days of being able to play the new content, so everyone likes to play new content.
I'm actually interested by that because this seems like a lot of changes. It might be really smart to put it into beta from the standpoint of making sure it's landing in a spot that makes sense, because if you release it to the public and something's just completely broken, that wouldn't be smart, so release it to that group first.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine that you could leave it in beta for long, right? Like, if this turns out that it's a hit, how quick is the decision to go, all right, let's make this live, all right?
Next day.
Yeah, because that seems like so much changes that people will want to get into it. And Banana saying that he's not keen to be kicked out of beta while he's asleep. Well, mate, you know. Just a little bit of commitment here. Just set an alarm, wake up, get back in the beta. It's worth it.
It would only be around 4 o'clock in the morning for you guys. It's fine. On a Thursday.
I think for him it's only 1:30, so he could just stay up.
Oh, is he
easy peasy?
Oh, is he in Western?
Is he in South Australia? Is he in Central? He's in a different time zone to me though.
Australia's quite big.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3.0 coming soon, like coming really soon, like next week, dangy, in for beta. For 3,000 lucky players, it's coming next week.
Mate, what a bombshell and what a quick turnaround. I wonder if this is, because I had noticed that Odie was maybe a little bit more quiet than he has been historically. He pops into the Discord quite regularly. And, you know, occasionally has a little quip here or there.
Had the head down.
But, yeah, he's been a little bit quieter. He's obviously been busy, man. Been very, very busy. Doesn't take a moment to smell the roses after retiring from wherever his job is. He just gets back into heads down. Let's make some proper cool shit for Ornn.
That's exactly what I'm doing as well.
Mate, the thing that's most exciting about all these updates is that additional part that he said about bringing in the team, because absolutely everything that we've touched on in that list of dot points there, 10 dot points, a lot of content in 10 dot points, to me can only be expanded on. You're talking about themed dungeons. You're talking about hopefully there's content for all tiers that come along with that. If you've got people on board, you might have somebody who's able to focus strictly on, you know, new gear or balancing gear, and that takes that off Odie's plate altogether. Yep. And then you've got somebody who might be able to focus on new sprites for new monsters gone from Odie's plate, and he can focus on other stuff. That just sounds, that sounds amazing. The scope just feels that massive at this point in time.
10 bullet points. I didn't even count them.
I think there's 10. You know, I can't
ten
read,
and a half,
so.
Maybe.
Maybe I can count.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the comments on that post, yeah, everybody's excited. Everybody's super happy. Again.
Yep.
Awesome stuff. Let's talk about some recent events then. Now, I can't even remember if our last podcast was before Surtr. It must have been before Surtr, because I don't remember talking about it.
Was it really?
You know what? If you give me 10 seconds, Dangy, I'll let you talk about something and I'll just check when it was.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, Surtr in itself was what we expected and had the impacts that we half expected, based on history. People went absolutely crazy raiding the guy.
July the 4th.
Kingdom Horns were, you know, Kingdom Horns were well and truly used. Coffers were emptied.
Yeah.
And players grew a bit lethargic, tired after a high intensity month of going after some of the greatest gear in the game in many different slots. And then we had the additional boss in there, and then an additional boss at the lower tier as well, which added more of the best gear that you can get in certain slots with things like the feathers and the Hellhest bows being absolutely sensational, and then like the chest piece, the garb is not too far off Surtr's chest piece. The boots weren't too far off Surtr's boots. I think they're nearly the same. We could argue one way or the other.
Decks,
the material
less,
investment.
Yeah, a bit more dex, a bit less stats in general.
Material investment's a bit rough on all of the Hell gear because of the Greater Souls attachment.
Yeah.
But
the feathers, the feathers. I bagged the quiver of, I think, about mid 170s, but I was more than happy with that, because I also got the feathers. I got an upgraded chest. So I got a chest last year on the 31st of July last year. I think the chest was like 175. I got the chest this year 183 or 184, so it's like not amazing, but it's a decent increase. I think it's like a 2% ward increase, which is absolutely huge. So I got them early on, and I just kind of chilled out, because last year, after July last year, like, I just kind of zoned out of Warner for like 3 months. So saved a bit of energy. Got the feathers, really, really nice. Ward, volley 3. I've not done too much with it, but tried out some endless with it on Realm Shifter. Yeah, really fun.
The feathers are just insane. Yeah. I got a set as well, and I use them for my Realm Seeker gauntlets, because it just makes the whole thing so speedy. Just sitting there, tap and volley.
Aye.
Just tap, tap, tap. Yep. They're incredible. I went hard during Surtr month, because I desperately wanted Surtr shoes.
All right.
Because I wanted to be able to become one of the deity chads that sit there and ruin everyone's day in war defences. I would have done hundreds of Surtrs and decent damage, two hundreds of Surtrs, and I only got one ornate for the entire month. And it was, yeah, it was the shield, which is which is good, but it, yeah, it was definitely, sorry.
I forgot about the shield, actually.
Yeah, the shield's very good. Tankiest offhand that exists in the game, I'm pretty sure, right? Like, it's still higher than the Wolven one, yeah, even though the Wolven one does have ward attached to it.
Yeah.
But for straight defense and res, it's the tankiest one. But yeah, I went really, really hard and then have had that unfortunate side effect that you were talking about avoiding, which is maybe the smart thing to do, where it has... It's lowered my energy to raid this month,
yeah,
for sure. But yeah, this month, what do you think about the event? And I'm not going to dare pronounce this. I just called him Trevor from day one, and it looked like the rest of the world called him Trevor as well.
Seems like half the kingdoms have changed their name to something off Trevor as well.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. It might be the greatest legacy to come from this event, to be honest, is all of the kingdom name changes that have happened.
Oh, I hope they don't change back the leaderboards. Now. Can't change back now. That's it. Trevelyan. Part of a song. In an Irish song, by the way.
Is that where that comes from?
Nah. The song will have been about Trevelyan. To be honest, Danny, I've not done my research here. I've not even... checked if this gear is good or not. I think I've killed this guy maybe three or four times to get his trinkets, which are actually pretty fucking good. Two-handers make two-handers viable.
Yeah.
So they go well with my Arisen Gandring, which I wish I had a bit more ward, but never mind. So. Yep. I think the lower tier version of those amulets give a 10% offense boost when you're wearing 200 weapons, and you can wear two of them, which are stacked together. And they are like flat multipliers. It's like 1.1, like on top of everything, of your offensive stat.
So it's not just the weapon stat, it's of your offensive stat.
I'll have to double check that, but I think so. Yeah. I think it's a straight multiplier. And then the higher tier version, the Arisen version, is 15%. So whack two of them on. Heavy stuff.
I think you made a comment which probably speaks a little bit to this event in general, is it's sort of followed two really really, really intriguing, fantastic gear months. And then this one's come in, and the gear doesn't seem, in most ways, to shine out, to stand out, really, from what you can get from other sources, which is really what carries an event from a raiding perspective in, say, like Kingdom Raids, I feel, anyway. So when you've got stuff in there and you're looking at it and it's, like, just normal gear that's got defense and res and no ward, no status immunities, no special tricks, I don't know if that excited people a huge amount. I know that the mage stuff that came from it decreased the mana costs, but that trick, I don't know how useful that is. Maybe you wear one piece for gauntleting so that you don't have to use a mana potion. Yeah, I've lost your head, by the way, Shab.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's a slight issue.
But yeah, I think like the coolest stuff to come out of this event actually didn't happen in the Kingdom Raids at all. It's even though there's the charms, which granted are pretty neat, and I didn't use it for the Gandring. You spoke about Gandring with me only yesterday or day before.
Yeah.
Thinking, yeah, you could actually use that with Swash and Gandring and get quite a punchy stat out of it. But it's probably the pet and the gauntlet boss. That's probably where the excitement lives for this event, right?
What gauntlet boss?
Yeah, Melodious.
Never seen him. I've only done 1,000 dungeons this month, and I've never seen him.
I think T11 got a bit shafted, right?
It's pretty rare. Meliodas. Yeah. With his bit of ward gear. Pretty nice gear, actually. Just super really good rare. Gear. So when something's that rare, like unless it's like god tier item, like I'm not gonna chase it. If I get it, cool. If not, I'm not gonna chase it. If it happens, it happens. The Lindworm pet, I've been seeing some fucking awesome numbers. When I get back to playing pet builds, can't wait to try it out. I also bought it on like my tier 7. Also, I'm going to try that out with some Dragon Knight or even...
Yeah.
Or first, it'll be Paladin Beastmaster stuff. Can't wait for that.
Mate, how is that for such a low-tier pet? It absolutely... It's a monster, that thing.
A beast,
that mark and execution as a mechanic, I think, is so cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
I know that the raid boss has that as well. It's such a cool mechanic. I occasionally get caught out and decimated by the execution.
Fucking wrecked. Doesn't it do like 50 times more, 50 times the damage if you've got the lion's mark on you?
Yeah. Yeah, something insane like that. So then you have to actually consider using that penance to get rid of the mark just to survive the hit. It's interesting. I like that he's exploring mechanics with each event. That's been the trend for a while now, is that the ultimates aren't working the same way that we expect ultimates to work. So that's really cool. But yeah, the gear from this guy in Gauntlets, the False King stuff, I'll be honest, I haven't checked out as much to see if it's good. I'd imagine for the tier it's very good. But that weapon, the scepter, Arisen King's scepter, if you were in T9 and you got a perfect one of those and Demon Forged it, you'd have 1166 magic and 41% ward on That's your weapon.
Pretty good.
That's mental. And then the hat, the Arisen King's crown, if that was a perfect Demon Forged, you'd have 33% ward. It's got 9 slots, so you know that's a decent chunk of ward right there. And then decent HP and mana to go along with it. So you got 158 of each to go along with it. And it's got low defense and res, so even a perfect would be at 158 of each. So it's another consideration for, you know, like any sort of ward swash build. It's probably second tier behind the Avalon Crown just because of the attack that is on Avalon Crown, and then the immunities that are on Avalon Crown with the petrification and curse immunities.
Yeah, curse.
But this hat is like, if you landed on one of those, you would not be upset at all.
Well, I wouldn't know about that, but I would definitely prefer an Avalon Crown. Curse immunity. You did mention... Sorry about drop the camera for a minute or so, but... You did touch on, like, Mad Raiden, and I'm actually going through some relapse trying to get an ornate Avalon Crown. Been smashing... gotta thank Dave the Grey, absolute legend, in the Scream of Terror, Whisper of Terror. There must be a third kingdom coming. Absolutely packed. Great guys
so
there.
So many people, yeah.
Yeah, they've given me a wee budget. And we're not all the way through the budget. And I've not got a crown yet, which is I've got about 6 or 7 ornates of every single other of Arthas's item. Which is great.
Really? Even Excalibur?
maybe not six or seven, but definitely a couple. I've got like 10 Avalon melodies or something like that.
Look at that. Get your bleed immunity. That's rough, man. That's real rough. Have you at least got, say, like a couple of legendary elemental Avalon crowns in there?
I've turned legendary auto dismantle on because I don't want to see any legendaries. I've got a legendary already.
Sick of it.
It's all or nothing.
There we go. All right. I think you'd said to me that you'd even started refining Avalon
ore. Oh, yeah. I got so mad. I refined like 5,000 Avalon ore. And I didn't get anything back. I got maybe that like 10 insane. Wolf blood, which I actually need for my next ascension. That was the other thing that I got mad the last few months. I demon forged my Arisen Feral Claws from way back in February.
Yeah.
Like the worst Kerberos item. Doesn't even have, last time I checked, doesn't even have an offhand ability. Maybe it does now. Can't remember. But, you know, really kind of low attack. In most weapons, you can just stick some like six or seven bestialize in and you get the same result and you've still got much better stats.
Yeah.
So I demon forged that. Spent like way too many wolf's blood and ascended the next day and realized I needed just under 1600 wolf's blood to ascend and I had zero. So that was fun. So the last 6 weeks I've been fucking doing normal dungeons, killing my wee Arisen Fenrirs, getting like 0.3 wolf blood per kill. The other week I got like 50 monster remains on my on the tier 7 alt, popped down to the park wood biome, popped all the monster remains, got like a massive boost of wolf blood, Lord of the Wolves and Fenrir, so that was good.
Well, mate, so, what about like come September 1st if there's themed dungeons and there's a woods biome one?
Well, I don't need it now. Well, hopefully not. But yeah, if I do need it, themed dungeons, that's a great shout, actually. Targeting materials.
Yeah.
Like, until now, I've not heard much of like people targeting materials because a lot of it's just kind of general stuff, but targeting wolf's blood, like, you got to do. Like tier 10 normals for the Arisen Fenrirs and also the Fallen. Fallen Freya drops the Chimera Staccato, which dismantles into Wolf's Blood.
Yeah.
I know Jeffels was targeting, like, he did six tier 6 boss dungeons for Herbs. Like, with, like, the double Carmen
right,
boss.
Okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. You got two different Carmen bosses. Yeah, okay.
But you gotta give up the Godforge chance, so, you know.
That's the tough thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I know that the common material targets are Greater Souls by just doing Arena as much as you can, or Hardened Steel is the other one. So some people will drop back and do like tier 1 boss gauntlets because there's a higher return of Hardened Steel for the amount of bosses that you see. There's only, what, 3 bosses that can be there and, you know, drop some Hardened Steel that way. But yeah, something like Wolf's Blood just sounds about as painful as it gets. Mate, it's almost like Odie should bring somebody on to look at some of those items that haven't maybe been balanced perfectly or got the same amount of love as other items, you know? Maybe there's opportunity for the Feral Claws that you've Master Forged and Demon Forged to become good.
Yeah, definitely needs a really, really decent buff, like double the action rate on it. 14% action rate.
40 slots.
Yeah. Nah, Hardened Steel, I disagree with you, Dangy, because like it seems like half every 2 months the event boss, the event raid has Hardened Steel in its
loot. Feels like it now, doesn't it? Yeah.
But there's definitely a few. Like, I think, to be fair, like, I feel like when he's introduced new mobs or maybe new event bosses, he has used an underutilized material, which nobody cared about before until Ascensions, when all of a sudden you thought you had like 10k cave stone in the bank, but you used all of it for the last 10 Ascension levels or whatever. So Opportunity there. Yeah, let's see what happens.
I think I remember when refining came in. I think it was Neff had said, "Do you use pure darkstone for anything?" It's like, I guess there's like a weapon that you can use it for. Yeah, it's like, no, that's fine. That's all getting refined. Just going to refine all that stuff. And then like ascensions come in. You're going to need all of those sort of materials for everything. So yeah, it's, he does try to target these lesser used materials, which is interesting. That Wolf's Blood one though, man, that's nearly as rough as it gets, I think. Well, that's harder to get than Greater Souls.
Oh, it's definitely harder to get. Like, you probably won't need as many on average. Like, there's so many endgame items which has greater souls, obviously, but
yeah,
just have to pummel Kerberos when he comes back.
Oh, that's rough. That's rough. So yeah, this current event. Oh, by the way, this current event kind of had a surprise to it as well. So we're cruising along. I wonder whether it's anything to do with the fact that people were both expecting a different raid boss to be here for this month. And also maybe the rating wasn't as high as it has been in other months. Maybe Odie monitors that live, but we got a drop of a special guest.
Special
raid boss. Yeah. So Merlin came back.
Magicked himself back into the game for 10 days.
Yeah.
Great guy. Nice of him to bring Archimedes along as well. People were saying, oh, I'm never going to get Archimedes, the pet, which when it came out was pretty good. I guess it being his tier 6 pet, isn't it? So it's still good at that tier. Like, it's still really good at that tier. You can't compare that to the phoenixes, which give you the Daphic channel, but the bird giving you greater meditation. Something to try out.
Neat for tier.
Yep.
And I think that Merlin in general is just like a popular raid boss.
Yeah.
I think that everyone's journey through has included Merlin at some point in time and been excited by a loot table that you literally have to scroll through to look at all the items. And it's got an interesting... It was probably one of the earlier bosses that I encountered that had like some interesting items. Like the shield was so interesting because it had HP on the shield. I think I was kind of glad that Merlin got a little bit of a showing. The thing that it did do though, which sort of stalled a few of us, is that this month was fantastic because it was one of the first months in a long time that there's only been one additional raid boss falling inside of the summoning scroll pool.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, for a while now, we've been getting two, which are the event bosses that are typically the Kingdom Raid bosses as well. So when they're the Kingdom Raid boss, it feels really bad to get it inside of your summoning scroll. Outside of maybe final day, if you haven't got the items that you want to smash out a heap of summoning scrolls to try and get last chances. But if your kingdom is capable of maintaining those raids, getting them in your summoning scroll pool can be a bit rough. So what people try to do is hold out for months where there's as little dilution going on as possible. And as soon as this month started and we sort of worked out that there was only one extra world raid boss. I don't know how you played it this month, Shabash, but I burned so many scrolls this month to finally get my War Adorns from the Third Horseman.
Okay. So you're fully binoculared up.
Fully warred up. I don't have Hellhests, nor do I even have good Surtur swords. I'm only using common ones, but I have, 14 War Adorns now. I summoned a heap, killed a heap, was getting close. Then I started just trading like crazy. I'm like, the Way Vessels have allowed me to do that. And say to a couple of friends or put on your server, put on other servers, if anyone's got thirds and they're done with their thirds, I will give you anything. You want a Yeti? You want, Ashen Phoenixes, you want hits on Morrigans, I'll give you that. Just I want these thirds, yeah. And yeah, managed to get it knocked out. So it was a good month in that sense to have less dilution in the pool to be able to use that with and get a better chance at those third horsemen.
Not a bad shout. I wonder if you could have been patient for another month and waited for the mimics, for the Mimic King, the mightiest mimic. But do you have a good chest? Do you have a good Fey Yeti coat?
I have an ornate Fey Yeti coat.
All right, okay.
So that's partially what changed my decision making personally, because I was saving for the mimics. I'm like, whenever they come, I'm going to use every scroll I have, because I'm hopeful that it's the monthly event, to be honest. I don't want it to be added in as an additional, 10-day or 1-day event, because that does that whole dilution effect, which we're talking about. If you have it as the monthly event, you've got essentially two bosses that could potentially drop that Fey Yeti coat for you in the Fey Yeti itself and the Mightiest Mimic. So I'm really hopeful that that happens. And that was my plan, was, stay, wait for those mimics and use all my scrolls. And then a friend let me hit one of his Fey Yetis, or maybe I used a couple of scrolls and we killed them together. I don't remember, but I remember screaming. I was like, oh, what the fuck? Oh my God, I can't believe I got it. He didn't seem to react nearly as much as I did. But mine's a, I think it's like a 185 or something. So it's actually not even that bad. It surpassed my Godforged Arisen Surtur's chest already at Demon Forge.
Oh, nice.
So if I Godforge that thing, absolutely mental. I think it's got 715 HP and mana on it. Yeah, absolutely mental. So yeah, the mimics are your best chance at getting Fey Yeti coats. You're dead right, because you've got those two bosses that can drop it.
Yeah, I'm saving my scrolls for another time.
That's fair, man. That's fair. I think I'm on 100 right now. I had put my threshold a bit higher than that, but then I kept wanting thirds. So I think I'm sitting on just about 100 scrolls right now. And if mimics come out, I'll just use them all.
Do you want to know how many I've got?
Tell me. Hit me.
Taking so long to load up, I've got that many.
Oh, wow.
Now, 433.
What the hell? 400. Yep. Oh, my God.
In the bank. Earning
interest.
You're
prepped for an event. You are prepped for an event. Jeez.
I wonder which one.
Yeah.
Nah,
man.
Saving them for a rainy day.
Yep.
Also saving them for my dungeon masters. No, they're not my dungeon masters, but the dungeon masters in the Honor Legend server who are selflessly offering up dungeons. Gonna have some fun with them when I do decide to use them up. Keep them
happy. Good guy, Shabash, hey? All right.
Gotta do what you gotta do. People. Slight public service announcement. If you are coming into the Oracle Legends server, by the way, and you're specifically looking for dungeons, and you see these guys, a lot of them day in, day out, handing out invites, please don't ask them to ally you. Yeah, send them an ally request. Do a tiny bit of effort in. Say please, say thank you. And you'll get access to like a million dungeons a week if you want. Give something back, make it easy for the guys. On that note, if we could get some ally list features, that would be nice as well. You can't search for anybody. It only shows 100, like the 100 most recent people online. So if I wanted to, dang, when you go offline and fucking Eastern Australia or wherever, and you send me a message, I can't find that message, typically.
Yeah. That sort of functionality would be handy. Yeah. Like any sort of party management stuff is actually, at this point, not just a nice to have. It's getting to be pretty essential, because you're talking about people who are managing parties that are at a maximum of 6 players, and they're trying to send out invites to lots of people, and some guy does his dungeons, doesn't say thank you for it in the first place, which really annoys people, and then falls asleep.
Yeah.
And doesn't leave the actual party, and then there's nothing anyone can do until that person wakes up and decides to leave the party.
What?
And what almost invariably happens with that stuff as well, Shabash, is the person that's been asked to leave the party after getting a free ride gets annoyed for getting asked to leave the party as well. They're like, oh, sorry, I just fell asleep. It's like, come on, man, come on. So, yeah, if there was some sort of party leader controls in there where you could manage things a lot easier, you could
kick
people out if need be, you could search, like you said, rather than going through the ally list, finding the person, expanding a menu, hitting invite to party, maybe there's just a party menu and you go in there and it's like, all right, you got 6 slots on this slot, hit invite and then search.
Yeah.
Search your allies and just add them in.
Yeah, or just links to your ally list and you can just tap, tap, tap and invite, boom, something like that.
Yeah.
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 Hopefully, yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
Not been out that long, but.
No.
Dangy, we were going to keep this one short, mate. Let's. What about we finish this one up with your latest and greatest suggestions? Now, you can probably tell, like, I can sort of tell, like, the game has grown and grown, because the amount of suggestions in this in the main or in the Discord is just, it's gone beyond the quantity that I would regularly check. Like, I remember going in, having a detailed look at stuff. And like, I'd go in a week later and there'd be maybe another 10 or so, and you can keep up, and you can actually easily check if you want to make a suggestion that's already been made before. Now it's like, I don't know, Dang, you will know better than me how many new suggestions we've got a day, but
it is getting pretty crazy. It does make it harder to track a little bit. And I wonder if there's, a way that could be managed in a different, easier to view way where, you know, top suggestions somehow trend in a way, and you can go and have a glance at what are the hot ones for this last week, and maybe that needs to tie in with the Discord thread features or something. I don't really know. Or maybe they just need to be pulled out into a separate channel altogether. But there's so many new players that come in with so many ideas, and it's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's not a good thing. Sometimes there's a little bit of like, let me jump to an idea before I've even learned the whole thing, which is okay. That's just eagerness. So gotta treat that the right way. There's excitement, so that's a good thing. But yeah, it is getting pretty crazy. It makes it a bit hard to go in and read now, because there are so many. But I thought that I'd just do something light here because of the topic list that Odie put out around some of the changes. And I thought that I'd just touch on a couple of suggestions. One of them was around a suggestion to add themed gauntlets. So this is a real light suggestion that just says add themed gauntlets that can spawn particular types of mobs such as Fomor, Draconian, Beasts, etc. This could even include visual thematic changes. Guess when that suggestion was made?
Well, seeing as you've asked me the question, I'm going to say this time 2 years ago.
You'd be about spot on. It was made in 2019, late 2019.
Oh, that's about when it went on the roadmap, right?
Is that when themed dungeons hit the roadmap?
Well, I don't think so. A date, but probably.
So that's crazy.
How did you find that?
How did I find that? Just went to the suggestions channel and searched themed.
Okay.
Yep. And then just had a scroll through. But yeah, that was made in November 2019. There's been other of the same or similar since. One of the more recent ones was around theme gauntlet keys for theme dungeons. And I think we've already touched on this one on the podcast itself around fire keys should open up dungeons for fire mobs.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So that's a different take on theme dungeons. One of the ones that we talked about, is it going to be a consumable to open these things up? Who knows? That could introduce a new gameplay loop. Then there's suggestions for specific theme dungeons that have actually gotten decent upvotes.
Okay.
There's this one here called Fallen Bastille, which would be a world-themed cooperative content. Themed gauntlet cooperative content. So I don't know, I didn't check the date on this, whether this was made pre or post the roadmap edition. And specifically, Odie's mentioned the party stuff more recently, yeah. So maybe it was made after that. But towers generating powerful magic energy. Fallen Bastilles amplify the falling, generating a series of adverse effects on all nearby dukedoms. So this is talking about tying it into the actual land ownership content within Orna, so that these themed dungeons specifically would be based in certain areas and impact those surrounding dukedoms, which is interesting. So the Bastille's range and enemy composition depend on the Bastille's tier. So there's going to be potentially different tiers in this suggestion. Effects include high spawning of fallen, and fallen have increased stats. Various fallen will spawn in the Bastille's dukedom as one-time spawns, replacing a large portion of world spawns. Oh, God, I can't pronounce that word. Fallen Eherger, I don't know. I'm not even going to try. And Harbringers, if added to the game, will be able to spawn in the dukedom of a T10 Bastille. They do not respawn when killed, instead replacing a portion of existing world spawns. Non-fallen, arisen enemies slain in battle affect dukedoms and have a chance to immediately regenerate to full health and then become arisen, with the aura only increasing their health and statistics. It's quite a large suggestion. There's a bit more to it. It's sort of an interesting concept that perhaps there's a way to tie in buildings that are located in certain spots. I don't even know how you'd work that out. Maybe there's a once per every 10 dukedoms. Somewhere within those 10 dukedoms, they're tied together in a larger area, and there's a building, and this impacts those dukedoms' spawns and more. So it's sort of interesting concept.
I really like how it ties in with the fallen and arisen. Kind of theology. We'd love to see more of that in general.
Yeah, like some of these suggestions that are coming through these days, man, I would have always just historically said, come on, it's one dude. Like, how much can he do here? But now I'm just like, my hopes and dreams feel limitless right this second. I hope that Odie doesn't listen to this and then get terribly scared about the expectations that are getting put on him.
Write more suggestions. Fire them.
Yeah, That's it. The scope feels a lot broader than it always has and more realistic to achieve. Not necessarily quickly, right? Like, we're not going to suddenly get one extra person on and everything hits day after day new content. But it does mean that some things might be considered achievable that maybe in the past were not. And then there's one other suggestion here on a theme dungeon called Enemy Encampments. I imagine this pretty much as theme gauntlet, where it could be a goblin camp, a draugr tomb, a dark elf castle, Draconian fort, while working kind of like gauntlets, could possibly select tier for goblin camp, hobgoblin camp, etc. In that there would be multiple enemies in a row, possibly finishing with a boss. I imagine these spawning similarly to bosses, where when cleared, they may respawn later, or a different or new one could. Mostly thought it could be a nice way to help with those kill 18 hobgoblin quests when you're in multiple tiers above that, but don't know if anyone else find that helpful. But anyway, that got a lot of upvotes. It got 49 upvotes, only one downvote, which felt kind of like it was just those typical people that goes through and just downvotes every suggestion. I don't know why people are like that, but some people are. So that's an interesting concept, that one, because that's not talking specifically about what a good concept for a themed gauntlet could be, but potentially an additional randomly spawned building that lets you smash out real quickly 15, 18, whatever, 20 of a specific type of mob with their boss at the end of it.
Love that. I love that, actually. Yeah. You know, as long as they're not ridiculously rare, like you drive 5 hours and you don't see one, or you see one, or you see one goblin encampment.
So there'd be a temporary sort of thing. So, thought it'd be an interesting little addition to some of the suggestions, or the notes, I should say, that Odie's made about what we can actually expect coming, to maybe get people a little bit hyped about what the scope is potentially for additional stuff that could come in future. And, you know, like, engage in the Discord and the Reddit skies. I think the Reddit seems to be primarily where new players go. They go to Reddit in the first instance, and a lot of the really experienced players are actually on the main Discord. So jump into the main Discord, jump into the Orna Legends Discord. The Orna Legends Discord has not just a whole heap of helpful people, but it has some useful tools in there as far as helping people find the pets that they're after, the dungeons, opportunities that Shabash has talked about there. Be courteous, be polite, be kind, say thank you, say please, do the work to get into the party yourself. Don't make somebody else offer you the service and then also make them do all the work to get you in there. But get engaged in the community, guys. Yeah. I think if there's ever a time, if you're ever sitting there and going like, I like playing my own game, this might be the time to maybe jump in and start chatting, because for all you know, come next week, which is crazy to say, this game's going to evolve into something that you get to play with other people in a legitimate way.
We can do some party mode, endless goblin encampments.
Mate,
great show.
If there's the ability to do like party endless or something like that, I'm booking some time with you, and we're going to have to bang out some sort of video, because that sounds exciting.
That sounds like there's nothing else I would want more in the world, Danny. A Friday night with the boys, smashing out some endless.
Couple of V's.
Misclicking on floor 10, and then ripping all my fucking gauntlet keys, mate.
We wiped great. To a bunch of skulls.
Sounds great. Dang it.
Yeah, fantastic stuff.
Going to thank you, and then going to let you go grab some breakfast. Been a good one. I think we'll be back fairly soon. What do you reckon?
I think so. There's been a bit of a spell with this one. Obviously, it doesn't always happen month on month at the same time, but we will try to get content every month where we can. I'm thinking, like you said, bit sooner, maybe within the next 2 weeks, who knows, but we'll try to endeavor to put out some sort of post shouting out that the podcast is coming. Again, Orna Legends Discord, there's a tag on there that you can actually get that notification that there's one coming when it gets posted. So keep your eyes open. Hopefully 2 to 3 weeks, something like that, we can get another podcast happening.
All right. See you in beta next week.
Oh, can't wait, man. Can't wait. Have a good sleep.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in live. Fucking been a good one.
It has.
All right.
Cheers, all.
Cheers, everybody. Ciao.
Bye.